Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that The Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for The Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Yeah, just kind of ignore some of the noise. Ignore some of the noise of him going back to a place where he coached at, of us kind of having some success and getting put on a hype train of the success we've had. And also, it's a challenge for us to go keep proving it, you know, week in and week out. And that's what been our main focus. So, you know, keep going and ignore the noise and know that, you know, you keep playing like this and we'll have a real shot, you know, once time, you know, the playoffs come. But that's a long way away. So just don't attack it 1 week at a time.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Hello and welcome to WEEI Afternoons. Nick Fitzy Stevens, is Mike Vrabel the key to this week's game? Is he the spotlight this week for the New England Patriots as they head to Tennessee to take on the newly head coach Mike McCoy Titans?
What, you mean that jerk Mike Vrabel?
We'll get to that in a minute. He's either a jerk or a saint, depending on what I listen to or what I read elsewhere on the internet. He's the nicest boss you've ever had, or he's a jerk to deal with. I told you, I think he is a jerk at times, and he knows he's a jerk at times. You know,
he's okay with that.
Back in the day, it was a-hole. I legit remember having conversations like, me, an a-hole? Who would say I'm an a-hole? Like that sarcastic tone. Like he knows he's being an a-hole when he's being an a-hole. Like when he says to Karen Garigian yesterday, well, that didn't take long to get the question as, does your record validate what you're doing? No, they're not going to shut down the rest of the season. We're not going to go win one for the Gipper. Plus, side note here, the Gipper was dying, right?
Yeah, that's the whole entire reason.
Vrabel's not dying at all.
And I don't want to hear anyone doing anything for anyone who's dying on this Patriots team. I want everyone to get well. I want our defensive coordinator back in the box, back on the sidelines, healthy, happy, and ready for a long stretch run and a fruitful career. But to say that Mike Vrabel is not going to be, or the emotions surrounding him is not going to be a significant factor in this weekend's game, regardless of how well the Patriots have been playing and what a dumpster fire on ice the Titans have been, would be to never have read into a football game in your entire life. Of course he's going to be a factor. Of course his emotions will charge up the game. And of course both teams are going to want to play extra hard, one to be immovable force and one to be the irresistible object.
We've seen it firsthand from Mike Vrabel over the years, over the last week. So you're telling me the guy who entered last week's locker room with turn that bleep up,
yeah,
is not caring anymore that he's going to Tennessee, where he coached, where they fired him, where it all kind of fell apart after they were well on their way to, you know, a potential Super Bowl contender? I just find that, or the same guy who famously, Bill Belichick, tried to throw the ball to Tom Brady. Tom Brady didn't catch it and hurt his knee, and Mike Vrabel immediately is like, well, we're going to throw to Mariota. And post-game, when they ask me why, I'll say, I just wanted to see if our quarterback could do better than their quarterback. Like, I'm sorry, he's an emotional guy. You can try to hide that this week because it's in the best interest of your ignore the noise plan. Still there.
Yeah, Andy, I was going to say, as somebody who is a self-professed, like, highly competitive individual.
Yeah, a hardo. Like,
you, Hardo, like you may, I know what you mind, I know what you majored in at Tufts, but you may have minored in competitive dinkery.
Yep.
You know, and like that you wear that proudly, ain't no shame. You must speak Vrabel to a degree. Like you, you probably understand Mike Vrabel, I would say, maybe more than any Patriots coach or NFL coach. I get it 1,010%, right?
Absolutely. And I get what he's trying to do out in front of the cameras. I get that he is telling his players what to say. And I also know that football players inherently will want to go and prove a point for Mike Vrabel in Tennessee. Because I've told you this. I believe this team really likes Mike Vrabel. And if they really like Mike Vrabel as their head coach the way that I think they really like Mike Vrabel, they want to go to his old stomping grounds and show off a little bit. They don't want to go down there and just, oh, you know, we made a few penalties and we turned it over and we won 24-21, but it wasn't. They want to go down there, and they're not capable of the 59-0 performance that the Patriots were back in the day. That ain't happening.
16 years ago, Kerry Collins and the Titans and the Oilers outfits famously never even got off the bus.
Correct. They're not capable of doing that, but they want to prove a point for their head coach because of their head coach against, and it falls in line also with the trajectory of who they are. You know, it also allows them to continue to build trust or whatever let down free play you want to assign to this team. But don't tell me this is not a motivating factor for lots of people. I remember one time in MetLife, I think it was MetLife by that point, Patriots beat the Jets. Mangini was the coach. And every assistant coach, while the media was waiting for the elevator, was running down the hallway, take that effing Jets, take that effing Mangini. Like, they were screaming. And so don't tell me all the game. It's just one game, and they're all the same, and it's our job as professionals to treat it as
remember,
such.
I remember exactly when you're God, I almost said the word that rhymes with mole spit.
Please don't.
100%.
And spell it. That's what Hoyer
okay.
does.
That's okay. Yeah, that's what Hoyer does, exactly. Yeah, it was still the toilet that was Giant Stadium at the time. Same location, terrible stadium. This is like you. Like if you say like if anyone on this team says like nah man, like Drake's up there, we're just gonna ignore the noise, go about our business like this is any other game. Like
liar.
Yeah, I know lies. You tell nothing but lies. This is not. They don't want to leave 25-9. They want the dub first of all because they want to hold on to first place in the AFC East. First, paramount to all other outcomes. However, 25-19 like it was against the Saints. Borderline-ish unacceptable. They want to go out there and, I guess you can say, pin one, hang one on the Titans. And we don't know what kind of team we're going to be getting in the Titans. Like, maybe Mike McCoy all of a sudden is like, oh, my God, this Callahan guy was an idiot. We can do so much more. Or it could be, you know what? Cam Ward was right. We ass.
So let's take a look at this a little bit from the Titans' perspective in terms of the emotion. Some of these guys played for Mike Vrabel. Like, Jeffrey Simmons played for
Loves
Mike Vrabel.
Him.
You think Jeffrey Simmons wants to show off for his old coach? Like, is there a motivational factor for some of the guys that are still on the roster from the Vrabel era where they want to show some? We're not the laughing stock we look like on tape or in the standings. Like, we want to show you we still got some fight in us. I'm sure they, new or old, they would like nothing more than to beat Mike Vrabel. I'm sure Amy Adams Strunk would love nothing more for her team that is a disaster to upset Mike Vrabel.
Is she offering bounties this week?
I would if I were her. Keep it on the down low. Don't put it in writing or text or anything like that. But I would insinuate to my players, you might find a little something extra under the Christmas tree if you beat Mike Vrabel. This season's a disaster either way. You're not digging out of this hole you've created. Your quarterback knows it. Your head coach knew it. The whole thing. But yes, I would be offering up a little extra something. I don't even know where she gets her money. Like, maybe it can just be gifts from
the family.
She
inherited the team from Bud Adams, who was like bathing in oil.
Yeah, so free gas on me for life if you guys all beat Mike Vrabel. Something like that from the old
free gas card?
Yeah.
That's nice.
The family energy fund. But Mike Vrabel, he's a polarizing guy. And Buck Riesing covered him in Tennessee, and he was on Mike Giardi's podcast. And he had interesting comments about the former head coach of the Titans, a guy that he knows very well. I've been told not only did he cover him, he knew Mike Vrabel very well. And this is what Buck Riesing said about Mike Vrabel.
Did his style of coaching, did it wear thin?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's
He's a jerk. Like, he's a jerk about things, right? Like, and so fans got tired of being, I wouldn't say being dismissed, because Mike Vrabel's not directly dismissing fans, but he's dismissing fans' questions on behalf of media and things like that. It's not his job to teach us or the fan base football. It's his job to win football games. I think people, you know, it's a lot of fun when you're leading the division. You've got Drake May, you're 4-2, and Buffalo just lost, to be Mike Vrabel and swatting flies down at press conferences and things like that. But when you've lost 7 in a row after blowing a division lead in 2022 the way that they did, and Todd Downing, the offensive coordinator, is essentially just beating his head against a wall, because they have no answers. They have no great schematic advantage there. And Vrabel stuck with Todd Downing. To his credit, he's loyal to his people. Obviously, they're all up in New England. Half the Titans roster, almost the entire Titans coaching staff, is back up in New England with Vrabel. So God knows he'll stick with you if he believes in what you're doing or what you can bring to the table.
So is he a jerk, or is he loyal, or is he both? Because that's also an option. Because if you read Mass Live today, Mark Daniels had a great long-form feature on Mike Vrabel. And all those guys that Buck Riesing is talking about there, the assistants that have been with him before, his assistants now, and the role he plays. It starts with one of those little anecdotes of Ashton Grant, who we just all started talking about because Vrabel brought him up this week in his role in helping Drake May as the quarterback's coach. Ashton Grant saw in his doorway Mike Vrabel, who threatened to call his wife if he didn't leave the building this offseason and go home and spend some time with his family. And there were just a ton of tales of that. Vrabel wanting people to go to their kids', you know, JV volleyball game. Or even there was one story, and I forget which assistant it was in Tennessee, Vrabel actually showed up at said game. It was like a ninth grade basketball game, freshman basketball game, and a guy's watching his kid play, and he's like, is Mike here? Is Mike walking in to watch our game with our kid? And so they love him. The loyalty is a two-way street of loyalty.
That doesn't sound like something a jerk does.
Because he's a jerk.
So, and it was funny. I've done that before. I've been in that Buck Riesing. Did you hear me? Goes, because he's a, and you're thinking in your head, do I say it? I think he's a jerk, but do I audibilize the thought going through my head right now?
Because he's a jerk.
Do I call him a jerk on this podcast? And he landed the plane, and he called him a jerk. And I think that can be taken for what it was. And guess what? None of this really matters. Neither the loyalty nor the jerkiness matters. Can we all agree that all that matters is he's 4-2 and he needs to get to 5-2?
Honestly, I mean, the alternate title of this show could be Two Things Can Be True at Once, because Mike Vrabel absolutely
not terrible.
Can be a jerk. And the way that Buck Riesing said it there, almost like he kind of laughed his way through it. Like, you know, okay, let's be honest. Like, he's a jerk. But it wasn't like, oh, hey, this guy's a jerk. Like, this guy sucks. No, there was almost said affably, if such a thing can be true now.
Yes.
And they know that about it. Like, he's highly competitive.
You know who else was a jerk?
Who? Tom Brady, Bill Belichick.
A lot of those guys can come off as jerks.
Red Auerbach, Larry Bird, all the guys that we love.
Ted Williams.
Sure.
Ted Williams was a notorious jerk. Jim Rice was a notorious jerk. A lot of these driven, high-level, Hall of Fame athletes slash coaches are kind of jerks. Was Bobby Knight nice?
No, Bobby Knight was the biggest jerk of all.
Greg Popovich, was he nice?
Because he's a jerk.
Exactly. He was a jerk, too. I mean, come on. They're not all going to be Ronaldo and, like, pay for somebody, you know, come be a super. He probably is even a jerk himself as well, even though
great
he pays for
people. Great minds think alike. There you go.
Deemed an a-hole by his owner, who said he's an a-hole, but he's our a-hole.
But that's the thing. Like,
until he fired him to stop being his a-hole.
So long as Mike Vrabel has the best interests of his team, the franchise, and his players in mind and at heart, I don't care how much of a jerk he is perceived to be. And you sort of need to be. This goes part and parcel with my theory in life. Like, I want my football coaches, my quarterbacks, my three-point shooters, my lawyers, my surgeons, my pilots to be a bit arrogant and kind of be a jerk, because I need that kind of godlike confidence to do what they do.
Because jerk.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Denzel. Denzel in that movie where he flipped the plane over that he drank too much. He would spike
Flight.
His drinks.
Flight. Yeah.
He was an arrogant a-hole. He also could fly. Or Tom Cruise in Top Gun. Arrogant a-hole, right?
Or just Tom Cruise. or just Tom Cruise in general. And you know what? He's really good. And no one else does stunts in the Mission Impossible movies or, you know, runs like Tom Cruise. We love that about them. This is what we love about Mike Vrabel. Yes, he's a jerk. He might be a jerk about a lot of things. And Tennessee misses that jerk. Or
I don't know
the
if they miss.
They do. Yeah, they do. Oh, don't you tell me.
Did they miss losing? Because that's what he did there.
Hey, Andy, he also left with a winning record, took them to the playoff three times. And how many wins
did they
have?
What about the back end? Did you hear Buck Griesing lose seven in a row? That's a lot of games in a row.
These things happen to people. Tom Brady lost his last two home games at Gillette Stadium. Do we call him a jerk? Did we not erect a 12-foot-tall military
practice statue? I called him Sulky McSulk-Sulk, and that's part of why he lost, because he was Sulky McSulk-Sulk.
That really did catch on, too.
It did. That's what it says under the statue. Nicknames, Sulky McSulk-Sulk.
Everyone not named Andy Hart was definitely not calling him that. But, like, these things happen. It's okay. They have as many wins since Mike Vrabel left as he has this season in New England. And I'm sure that stings and resonates mercilessly inside the halls of that building. So, yeah, Jeffrey Simmons this week is going to be equal parts. I need to show Mike Vrabel that he never should have left me here. Also, I need to show Mike Vrabel that he needs to come rescue his boy and get me out of this hellhole.
So the text line, 617-779-7937, is sort of thinking like us. Sound like another coach, you know, the 413. 617 says, sounds like Belichick. A loyal a-hole. Winning solves everything. And that's where we are. Remember a few weeks ago, we were actually comparing looks dumb, sounds dumb, maybe was dumb. We were comparing Mike Vrabel to Gerard Mayo. We were comparing missteps in the media, saying rat, doing this, comments he made. He was sticking too long with fumblers. And what's changed since? Not Vrabel. Vrabel sounds... they won. They're winning
their quarterback's
football.
Not turning the ball over, and he's throwing deep balls like javelins at a rate no one has ever seen.
Oh, so you mean
NFL
the quarterback
before.
Can make plays to carry an a-hole coach? That's a that's an interesting theory around here.
How about this? I'm going to take it a step further. An offensive coordinator can have a positive impact on a highly talented yet still raw, fully undeveloped quarterback, and they can all sort of come together. We'll call it a confluence, Andy, head coach, coordinator, and quarterback, to make for a progressive, dynamic offensive improvement.
That's silly. I listen to the Greg Hill Show, and that is not a possibility
you
that the offensive coordinator involved.
We're trying to make vertical friends here.
Are we? We're trying to make friends here. 617-779-7937. There was an interesting question also asked by Andrew Callahan that Fitzy just kind of brought up. Do they regret firing Vrabel in Tennessee? I get the immediacy of the moment. They should regret it. Why? Well, because they fired his replacement already, and it was a debacle, and he was basically telling quarterbacks to go F themselves in press conferences and on the sideline, and he wasn't ready for the role. But I don't know that they should regret it, because I do think, and I've texted with some of the beat guys about this, there are people even here that are like, Vrabel's going to burn hot. It's going to be interesting to see how sustainable Mike Vrabel is.
You like that, huh?
He's very cocky. And we know he likes to bat people around. So far, we should keep a list of this. Phil Perry got batted around, right? I don't know where you went to school, Phil, but I think you're smarter than that.
Volin, I think he got Volin.
Volin he got for, I don't know whether you were tweeting or texting, but, you know, it's already been asked. Yeah. Andrew Callahan, he got with the, we're going to have a problem around here if on Wednesday we're still asking about the previous game.
Yeah,
he's already put together a pretty nice hit list of guys and gals he's gone after in the Sophie Waller. He got on her for both the volume of her questions and also referenced the previous game on a Wednesday, which is a third rail. Dan Ball?
You better keep winning then if that's the track record he's going to put together.
And that's my point. This is fun when you're winning. Right? Because he's not as big an a-hole as Belichick was. He does it with more Parcellian flair, right? But it's all based on winning. It's all based on success. Winning the games you're supposed to and then stealing some of the games you're not. And as he said, I give Vrabel credit for that. He keeps referencing the reason he was fired in Tennessee is they didn't win enough football games. He went 6-11 his final year, 7-10 the year before that. They fell apart that final year. Did he lose the locker room? Maybe. We hear about that. The message. Does the hard-o act wear thin faster? Probably. If you're a nice guy, do you buy yourself? If you're Pete Carroll, do you buy an extra year before everybody turns on you? Probably. You can steal an extra year.
Yep.
But that's who Mike Vrabel is. He's a hard-o, and I don't think he apologizes.
That stuff gets me excited.
The only thing I will say is speaking of hard-os, we're going to get to that later. That's the hard-o of all hard-os. Somewhere, Mike Vrabel was like, he did what to the media? He pressed for 12 minutes full?
I'm still kind of like, that. My emotional jury is still out on that one. I can't figure out how to feel about that.
I'm all for
later in the show.
You're all for bullying?
He wasn't bullying. He was having fun. They were playing basketball.
57-4 isn't bullying.
I'm just glad the high and mighty king came down from his throne and then was on normal flooring with the rest of the lowly media.
It's 54-4, and the buzzer's about to go off, and so your best player shoots a logo three just to jam it home. I mean,
I can't think of another coach that played a pickup game of their chosen sport with the media. I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. Definitely a hard-o move from Joe, yeah. But
all
I
could
it.
Think of is from Rocky. He doesn't think it's a damn exhibition. He thinks it's a damn fight. Like he was out for blood. He was looking to embarrass them. And we'll get into that. I actually think the comments are worse than the crime on some level with what Joe Mazzulla did to the Celtics media the other day that everybody laughed at and then continued to laugh at when they put it on the Jumbotron so our guy Terp could be seen losing the basketball trying to bring it up the court.
Yeah, but they got closer, guys. They got closer that day. Now they're on the same footing. Go away.
It was just magnanimous of him to say that, now you know what it's like to compete because you've never competed for anything in your life. You guys don't compete as media members. You don't compete for jobs that are drying up faster than almost any industry in the world.
Yeah, you're the coolest, bro.
Wow. I mean, seriously, way to bridge gaps and mend fences, Mazzulla.
617-779-7937. We'll get to that a little later in the show. We have a loaded day today. Up next, we'll talk to our buddy Andrew Razor Raycroft. About an hour from now, we'll talk to Tom Curran, as we do each and every Thursday. The Bruins are in Vegas. They had a couple days to come together as a team, and now they need to prove it's actually successful and play some good hockey on a key West Coast swing. We'll talk with Razor about that up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, who's cranky because of Joe Mazzulla, has what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Oh, Andy, Joe Mazzulla is the least of my worries. But trending now on WEEI is brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. The Patriots return to the practice field this afternoon. New England concludes their three-game road trip on Sunday in Tennessee against the Titans. Kickoff is at 1 p.m. Wednesday's injury report looked like this. Three players did not practice on Wednesday. Safety Jalen Hawkins, as well as linebackers Anthony Jennings and Harold Landry. Four players were limited participants. That's Christian Barmore, Stephon Diggs, Morgan Moses and Charles Woods. Two players were considered full participants on Wednesday as well. That's corner Christian Gonzalez as well as defensive end Keon White. From ESPN's Mike Reese earlier today, a locker was set up for tight end Thomas Odokoya here as the Patriots are reportedly making multiple additions today. He has been with the Titans from 2022 to 2025, most recently on their practice squad. Defensive tackle Leonard Taylor was also in the locker room today. He played 14 games in 2024 with 24 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 4 quarterback hits, 1.5 sacks. 2 games this year he was waived by the Jets on Tuesday. The Celtics finished their preseason with a 110-108 win over the Raptors at TD Garden last night. Xavier Tillman hit the game-winning 2 with 1.4 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Derek White led all scorers with 33 points. Boston opens up the regular season next Wednesday, October 22nd at TD Garden against the 76ers. Tip-off is at 7:30. The Bruins open up a 3-game Western road trip tonight when they visit the Vegas Golden Knights. Puck drop is at 10 p.m. Boston has a 3-1 record to start the season. And from around Major League Baseball, tonight the Dodgers host the Brewers for Game 3 of the NLCS. First pitch is at 6:08. L.A. leads the series 2-0. And last night, the Blue Jays beat the Mariners 13-4 in Game 3 of the ALCS. Game 4 is this evening. First pitch at 8:33. Max Scherzer, Luis Castillo, the pitching matchup. Seattle leads the series 2-1. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Back here on WEEI Afternoons, going to go right to the guest line where our buddy Andrew Razor Raycroft is joining us. Razor is brought to you by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow. And we should mention that Razor is going to join us each and every or most Thursdays throughout the season. The time may vary as it is this week, getting it out of the way early. But Razor, we're looking forward to this. And I got to get it right out the way because there's been a lot of like snickers and jokes about the Bruins being in Vegas early. And what do you think they've done the last couple days? Is this team bonding? Has there been a lot of drinking? Should I take the other teams? Like, what's going on out in Vegas right now?
No. This is a team bonding. The professional athlete nowadays is much, much different than, I suppose, the mythology of the ones 20 to 25 years ago. They go out and take care of themselves. I'm sure they found a little bit of fun Monday night when they got in, but the last couple of days have been about team bonding, getting away. This is with the compressed schedule, there's just literally no time to spend as a team, and to grab a couple of days here in October, I think it's important. The team element, the getting to know guys, it really doesn't happen at home, and the road is the only time to do it. And it just happened to be that they had to go to Vegas to do it, but certainly no. I positive they were all in bed early last night, and they're all ready to go today.
It's so funny, Razor, because in our father's age, it would have just been like, well, there was no real paparazzi, no social media to share shots of guys up at 3 a.m. at the Golden Nugget or walking with beers in their hand down the strip. And now they probably go for like a hike and a wellness retreat, probably a spa treatment, and maybe like a paleo approved dinner together for the bonding trip. I did want to ask you, why do you think Korpisalo was in net the other day? In the Monday game, like, wasn't there enough time that you probably could have played Swayman so he would have had three starts on the season, then one for Korpisalo, then given Swayman that extra time before the Thursday nighter in Vegas?
Well, you probably could have, technically, but that you're looking at a back-to-back this weekend where Korpisalo is going to play again, and if you don't play him over the weekend, then he goes 10 days without rest right out of the gates in the start of the season after playing really, really well and winning against Chicago. So,
Yep. Again,
this goes more to the schedule, the balance, and needing both guys. Most second goalies have played two games thus far in the season. Even though it's four or five games in for a lot of teams, they're getting everybody in the mix right away. And the way to do that was play Korpisalo in the afternoon game, gave you a chance to win despite playing really badly in the first 25 minutes of the game, made some saves at the end to keep it close. But you're going to see, again, it just can't be a 60-game start for either goaltender with the condensed schedule this season.
Razor, nice start to the season. Three wins in the first four games, three to open the year. But how important, I think they're second in points right now if you look across the NHL in standings, very, very early, obviously. But how important are these games between tonight and Sunday? How much are we going to find out about maybe just how surprisingly good the Bruins are, or is there the chance that this is sort of a reality check?
No, this is a really tough trip for every Eastern Conference team that makes this trip, and then there'll be a bunch of them that have to play three and four, you get 500, you're more than happy. You're just trying to bank a couple of points early in the trip and maybe get lucky. I can't imagine any Eastern Conference team coming through and sweeping, and if you do sweep these three games, you're putting plenty of banks or points in the bank above everyone else. So it comes down for me more about how they play. And again, if they play the way they did the first four games, they will find a way to get to 500. So I think we learned a little bit about this group, even in the loss the other night, just how much they battled, how much they kept themselves in it at 4-1. We saw last season lose 8-1 7-1, 6-1 on home ice, where the air went out of the balloon at 4-1. So I think it was pretty positive the other day. But like Coach Stearns talked about, this team has, and all the players for that matter, they have so much to prove. They have something to prove every single game, and that's getting better, and that's finding to grab some points. So again, I don't know what the proper result is. For me, it's 500. If they find a way to get 3 points in the next three games and come back home after it with two games over NHL 500, I think they're in a really good spot, and they've told the league a lot about themselves.
I think a lot of us were impressed, if not had our minds blown, on that Monday when you saw Pastrnak throwing his body in front of the net, like into the crease to stop a puck. Like, whoa, wait, does it say Chara on the back of that jersey, or is that Pasta? That was great. And this sort of goes along with all the positive talk there has been about him becoming a more complete, better two-way player. What sort of strides and steps have you seen him take to sort of become a better all-around player, Razor?
It's grown. He's grown so much as a player and as a person the last couple of years with no more David Krejci, with no more Patrice Bergeron, with no more Brad Marchand. He stepped and filled the void, and so much is talked about the culture and doing the right thing all the time, even if it doesn't matter, and it all pays off, and playing like those guys before you, and that's what David's done. That's Patrice Bergeron, right? Like that's what Patrice Bergeron would have done in that situation. He would not have given up like a Nikita Kucherov did on the Tampa Bay side. They ended up winning, but David ran him over with an empty net because he was going soft. And then in the save itself, like that's different than just being a superstar. That's being a leader, and I think it just goes to show how far he's come and how much he truly cares about winning and losing and not just scoring 50 goals every year.
Nesson analyst and Morning Brew co-host Andrew Razor Raycroft here with us on WEEI Afternoons. So let's take it a step further. When you were in studio last week, you said they'll have a captain. It comes from this trio. It feels like there's been a lot of positives on the ice for Pasta. Feels like there's been a lot of positive things written about him. Ted and I noticed Jim McBride had a real positive story, best two-way player, and then Fluto was writing. He's one of their biggest hitters, and people are going to realize that. Are we paving the runway here for Pasta to become captain soon?
I don't see them making a decision on this in season at this point. I think they've picked their three assistants. They're going to roll with their three assistants and see where the dust settles at the end of the season. I think why we're hearing more and you're seeing the beat writers write articles, not just about David scoring, is just because it's been so impressive. And we all huddle around him and look for his words every night, and he continues to impress in that way and say the right things and have the right effort on the ice. And I think those articles you mentioned are just more about what we saw in the last couple of minutes of the game the other night and how much effort he's putting into getting this team to win and willing this team to win. And I think it's just being appreciated by everyone that's watching real carefully.
Something the team really did not get last season at all, Razor, as they obviously look to turn the corner and improve dramatically, is contributions from both Lindholms. I know the hamper is a little bit dinged up right now. How much do positive contributions from both of them on the offensive and defensive side mean for this team and its future this season?
No, it's huge. And I think we're seeing that with Elias Lindholm and him being healthy this season, not having back issues, feeling comfortable in Boston, what he means and why the Bruins signed him to their three levels of the game, let's say, I use special teams in shorthanded power play and that 5-on-5 time. He affects the game in all those ways when he's on. He's got his power play goals. He's winning faceoffs at a 70% rate. A lot of those coming on the PK, which is why the Bruins PK has been perfect. He can control the game from the center of the ice. He's a typical top centerman in the National Hockey League. And if he gets points on top of that, then the Bruins have something. And again, that's why he was signed to to have this kind of a start and continue to do it and find that chemistry with David and Morgan Geeky and keep the power play in a respectable position that allows them to win games. So Elias Lindholm's huge. Hampus Lindholm's probably just as big, if not bigger. He just needs to get back on the ice, and hopefully we see that tonight. But there's a direct correlation to how the back end plays when Elias Lindholm's in the lineup. It's just more solid and more offensive as well.
Razor, after we talked to you last week, I watched that Blackhawks game, and I believe, upset for me, I believe I watched it wire to wire and didn't watch any football on a Thursday night, telling you how invested I am early in this Bruins team. But I thought it was a really fun game. Korpisalo was awesome early in overtime to allow give you the opportunity to steal that game. But I also fell in love with, I think, a guy who's becoming quickly my favorite player, and that's Nikita Zadorov. He had a huge hit on the boards. I thought he nearly killed a man. And then he was mucking it up in front of the net. He kind of started a fight when he pushed a Blackhawk into the back of a Bruin and all hell broke loose. I think he has twice as many hits as anyone else basically on the team. Like, how important is he to this Marco Sturm, new school, old school Bruins mentality?
Well, he's very important in his and you talked about his physicality. How Cam Neely and Don Sweeney and Charlie Jacobs have talked about how hard it is going to be to play against this Bruins team and piss and vinegar and everything else. Zadorov's at the top of the list, and he had 7 hits in that game on Thursday night against the Blackhawks. I think two things. One, I just mentioned Lindholm and just being here and being comfortable. I think Zadorov went through that phase early in the season last year where he was taking a lot of tripping penalties, a lot of hooking penalties. But at the end of the year, he settled in and was by far the Bruins' best defenseman when McAvoy and Lindholm were out of the lineup. So I think he's got that more – he's more comfortable here in Boston and really settled in. And I think the way Marco Sturm plays the game, we're slowing down the neutral zone and making teams dump the puck in rather than having a head of steam at a guy like Nikita Zadorov really benefits him. And it really allows him to close out. It allows him to be physical, and it allows him to play his game and not chase and not get sticks in the way. So I think he's a big beneficiary of the way the Bruins want to play right now. And he's also very sharp in his reads and his physicality. There's not many guys bigger out on the ice on a nightly basis, and he likes to impose that will on people.
And last one from us, obviously, it's a huge road trip, the Thursday and a Saturday and a Sunday. You fly home, and then Tuesday, here comes your old pal back to the Garden. Obviously, got his season off to a great start with 3 goals in 5 games. How emotional do you expect the TD Garden to be next Tuesday when Marshy's back in town?
It's got to be. It's going to be crazy. I think... You know, Zdeno Chara came back, but it was, I think it was COVID or half COVID or, not the same vibe. He was in Washington, which, you know, they had the rivalry, at, you know, 10, 15 years, but maybe not the same as this Florida. It feels like this one's going to be a big one. The return of a Bruins player that we haven't seen in a really long time. It's going to be really emotional, I think, for the fans, really emotional for Brad Marchand. Somewhat emotional for some of the Bruins players. There's been a lot of turnover. So if you're only with Brad for a year or two, maybe not the same as a guy like David who had him a long time. But nonetheless, it's going to be pretty awesome in there on Tuesday night. I'm looking forward to seeing the return of Brad. And you know he's going to do something. You know he'll be in the middle of something. And
yep.
And that's what makes him great as well. And that's what's going to make it must watch.
And that's why that game is on ESPN. But to get there... What's going to happen?
Hey, we got pre and post on Nesson, though. We've got pre and post game on Nesson.
Always. So. I'll be there.
Yeah, thank you.
How many points are they going to get out of these next 3 games real quick?
I like three. I won't be greedy with 4. I think they find a way to get a point tonight, and then they'll split over the weekend.
All right. I like your optimism. We'll see if you're right next Thursday. Appreciate you joining us. We'll talk to you then. See ya.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Razor.
Razor being optimistic. Who would have ever seen that coming? Jones and Keefe. See, we can have a nice chat with a hockey guy.
Oh, he's such a homer. He's such a homer.
He's not a homer. They won three games to start the year. They got a new coach. Some of their players are playing better than we ever expected. There's reason for optimism on the ice, just like there is down in Foxborough. I do want to revisit the captain talk, though. The answer from Razor about Patrice Bergeron there, convincing me he's such a two-way player. David Pastrnak, should he be the captain now? That was the poll on at Jumbo Heart. We'll tell you the results and give our opinions next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast? You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch full episodes, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search for the Greg Hill Show, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
WEEI Afternoons with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens, and Ted Johnson.
Are we paving the runway here for Pasta to become captain soon?
I don't see them making a decision on this in season at this point. I think just those articles you mentioned are just more about what we saw in the last couple of minutes of the game the other night and how much effort he's putting into getting this team to win and willing this team to win. And I think it's just being appreciated by everyone that's watching real carefully.
That was Razor, Andrew Raycroft, just moments ago here on WEEI Afternoons. If you missed the interview, want to follow up more on everything that's going on in the world of the Bruins. He said, first of all, don't worry. They're not getting hammered out in Vegas. They'll be ready to play. It's not the old days. The modern athlete's different. He also had a little bit of an optimistic tone as how these three games out west might play out. You can go back on the Odyssey app and hear all of that. But he's now on the record, Fitzy, with Pasta. He's on the record. He doesn't think it's going to happen this season with Pasta. I don't know. He knows more than I do. He's around that team, obviously, way more than I am. But this little pop-up, that this praise, this commonality in a lot of the beat writers' reports, suddenly fluffing up Pasta as a two-way player and as a big hitter and all these things, I don't know. Feels a little propaganda-ish to me that they're preparing to name him captain. And would you want him to be the captain mid-season, Fitzy?
I got to be honest, I don't think it's necessary. I really don't. I feel like this team, the way that Marco Sturm is trying to, I won't say build it, but sort of reconstruct it from within with a couple of, you know, lighter scale additions from the outside, this seems to be a very team-centric approach. Mm. And I think he wants to, while he knows that that is his most impactful, most important, and most dynamic player, I think he wants everybody to feel like they have ownership in the well-being and the fortune of this team. So I don't think he does it, and I don't really think it's necessary.
Yeah, and you can take it that way because I've heard many players, I think Hunter Henry said it a couple years ago when he was a captain 1 year and then he wasn't a captain the next year, said something to the effect like, I don't need a C on my chest to be a leader. I'm going to be the same player, spokesman, work ethic. I'm going to bring the same thing to the table. And the reality is, if Pasta is leading by example and being a captain in that way, it doesn't really matter if he has the C on his chest, right? If he's playing to the level of a C without the C, that's all great. What are you smirking at back there?
Just a lot of C's going around.
That's what they put when you're a captain. It's a C.
I understand.
At Jumbo Hart, at WEEI Afternoons, I asked Bruins fans, is David Pastrnak worthy of being named Boston's captain? 77% said yes.
Yeah, he is.
Which is weird because I checked this early. This is one of the most, the biggest turnarounds in any poll. I checked like the first 30 votes immediately and it was negative. It was like 70% said no. And now it is 77% say he is worthy of being captain. I think he's going to end up the captain. We were talking about it during the break, Dan Ball and I. Some point later in the season, dream scenario that I'm going to pose is you make the postseason and you make him the captain between the regular season and the postseason.
I got to ask, what does it matter? Like, really, does it matter? Like, Pastrnak already has the number 5 selling jersey in the NFL. Excuse me, David Pastrnak does not. Kevin Pastrnak does. So you've got a top 5 selling jersey and you're basically the face of the Bruins. You're on the contemporary Boston Mount Rushmore and everybody knows you're their best player. What else do you need?
Well, then why do they have captains?
Zdeno Chara
and Patrice Bergeron and Brad Marchand? Why do they have a captain for 25 years?
You do it. Well, that's a great tradition.
It doesn't mean anything. You don't need them. No.
But at this point, you don't name it mid-season. It feels strange to do it mid-season or like, okay, now that we got through the whole season and we realized no one single player was more important than the other, now we're going to tell everybody that David Pastrnak is our captain.
I would say the simple answer is to reward him. If he really is playing better than he's ever played, more of a two-way player than he's ever played, if he's hitting like he hasn't hit before and he's brought his game to a new level to become Patrice Bergeron-esque or whatever the hell you want to call it, then reward him. He invested in your team. He became a better leader and a player. Reward him. And not that I think he necessarily is doing it just to get the C, although he could be. Maybe he really wants it. Maybe he wants to distance himself from McAvoy and Lindholm. But I don't know. I would not be opposed to it. I wouldn't be worried that it would shake things up. If anything, I think it would be a good sign. Similar to the way Drew Holiday got a contract extension before the Celtics went into the playoffs a couple years ago. It kind of puts your leader on a pedestal as you head into the most important part of the season. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, Ted Johnson arrives. We're going to do some three-point stances. We all know who is set to be the halftime show at the Super Bowl, but MAGA Heart's going to tell you who it should be. That's next in my three-point stance.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you
what
know why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Greg Hill.
And I'm Courtney Cox.
Did you know that the Greg Hill Show is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods, and whenever works for you.